from CN to CA.
What's going on? What are you still working on? Tanya Dunhas Gigon, then on Zewa Dahun Sadache, Ungahuan, and Hadiwa Nodus, and the Aboriginal Voices, Oska Dewa Nyawar Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And it is 6 o'clock right here on CFRC 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Ani Nichkimik, Doug Farquhar, Dijnikos. Meanwhile, Sean Story, Esna Minwa, Nishnabi Niwewin. Here we go. Aboriginal Voices on this gorgeous Tuesday evening. Isn't it nice for April?
It's semi-gorgeous.
Oh, come on.
There's a bit of gray out there.
It started out
It rained all day.
Where were you?
At home.
Oh, not up where
down,
I live.
Down the road a stretch.
It rained for about an hour or an hour and a half before noon. And then it stopped. And from 1:30 until 4:30, it was sunshine.
I think we got, okay, then. That's about what I got to.
Oh, okay.
But it rained all morning.
not for us. But my
lawn, that would be goodness. The semi part.
The lawn is green. It 2 weeks ago it was all white, and I liked it that way. Now it's green. Mind you, all the branches and the old pieces of trees that have come off or picked up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Yeah, they made me do that.
That part sucks.
Part of my physiotherapy, bending over and picking things up. Anyway, but when I got way to the back of our property near the old apple trees, the deer have done a number. Everything up to my shoulders has been trimmed right around the apple tree. All the nice shoots that came out last year, they're done. Nice. So I'm feeding the deer. Who knew?
Look at you.
Yeah. And they're making my lawn even greener because they left their pellets all over the place.
All right. Hey, You know what, Doug?
What's that?
Turtle Island Indigenous Science Conference coming up.
Oh, all right. Where? Probably over Waterloo.
Waterloo.
Oh. Okay.
I read it because it's on the Four Directions thing.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was here.
Oh, that
but
would
apparently,
that'd
no.
be exciting.
We got to hop in a car and go to Waterloo. Like what, 6 hour drive?
About five. Yeah. Not bad. How long? It's 3 days?
It's May 24th to the 26th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So 2 days. And let's see, what are they going to do? The conference will bring together indigenous knowledge keepers, scholars, practitioners, and community members for meaningful connections. Together we'll explore the many ways indigenous science shapes research.
That's pretty good.
Also education. And community practice. I wonder if they'll have a Zoom, like one of them TED
maybe
Talk
go, or even virtual, like
then
a
we
hybrid.
We won't have to drive to Waterloo. Have you been to Waterloo?
Yes. Many, many years ago. When I was a kid first learning to play hockey.
Did you have to talk slow?
Not then. It was a small place, Kitchener, Waterloo. They were two little towns far apart from each other.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And now you just call them Kitchener-Waterloo.
Kitchener-Waterloo.
Yeah.
That's right. And they have the Mennonites, right? The
north
Amish?
North of there, yeah.
Yeah, you go to St. Jacob's.
That's it.
It's like in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can
visit.
Visit with Mennonites. The cool ones. They don't need your cell phones, your Facebooks.
No?
They're too cool for that.
Okay.
Carry on.
I don't know where you're going with it.
Well, what do you mean, where am I going with it? I was laying down fact for you.
Okay. I was just trying to think of a piece of music we could play. Do you have
all right. Hey, did we want to mention that Nicole is here?
I was just going to say that we do want... I was wondering if...
We probably should. Yeah. She's sitting right there looking at us. Anyway, so we have Nicole. I have no idea why,
she's
but Nicole
here to
is
visit
here.
And to see what CFRC is like.
Oh.
And shaking her head, yes. And so she's had a tour, and now she's seeing what two hosts do.
Because she's interested in doing a show?
I hope so.
Really?
Yeah.
Volunteer?
Possibly.
We met at a policy event, and
talk a little louder into the mic.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll include you in...
Okay, wow, impromptu.
You got to get up close.
Yes, we met at a policy event, and I guess that was my interview process. Wasn't very rigorous, but I am very interested in you know, what Doug was doing here, and I wanted to come by and visit, and he so kindly offered... I am not coming back to Queens next year, unfortunately. But
you're staying in Kingston.
Yes, I am staying in Kingston for...
No, that's okay. You can still volunteer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can drop by and just be part of our show
for a little bit.
And that way you get a chance to really experience what it's like. You can even sit in the pilot seat.
Of course. And I pass by this building all the time. And so the fact that you showed me the entire building... Very interesting. Very beautiful. All the old records that you're showing me. I was like, oh, the Eagles, all the songs that my dad listens to.
Oh.
Very nice, very nice.
Well, you could put a playlist together for Aboriginal Voices.
Oh, yes. That'd be great. But I'll let you guys get back to it.
So your policy? What policy? Here at Queens?
Yeah, School of Policy Studies. Just a little bit of a shout out to the School of Policy Studies at Queen's University. I'm doing my Master's of Public Administration.
Oh. Master's of Public Administration.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, yes. But you get to go and work with politicians.
Yes, or if you become a public servant with Ontario Public Service.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily with provincial or federal politicians. You could be doing it for municipal politicians.
Yeah, we could work at municipal level, government, provincial, federal. So this summer I'm doing my internship with the OPS. Yes, with Ontario Public Service.
Yeah. So that'll give you an introduction to what's going on there.
Yes, it will.
Good.
Yeah. Ontario Public Service does what?
No, don't put Nicole on the spot for that.
Why?
Well, because they're every...
She has to do as a public... Administrator.
No, sometimes it's just research.
Oh, yeah.
They say, okay, we got a problem here. It may be about... could be about health care, like we talk about all the time, health care. So then you go in and you find out, what part of the health care do you want me to look at, rather than being broad, like everything. They used to do... they had one, Duncan Sinclair, in the late 1990s did that work for the provincial government, how to change the hospitals.
Oh.
And they're still trying to figure out how to do that.
So he's the one.
No. Remember, were you here when we interviewed him? No,
probably
maybe
not.
It was for Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis.
No, that was very interesting because he explained all the problems of what he heard about across the province, and then sat down and he gave us the official line. And when he got up, it was
wait times?
And he stopped after the interview and everything and said, the mics are off, yes. Can I come back in April? And we thought, you know, that's pretty quick, you know, so... Sure, you know, he said, because then I won't be with the program. I'll be finished. His contract ended March 31st. Mm. And then I'll tell you what it's really like.
I see. All righty.
Yeah. So we're not going to put Nicole in that.
Oh, we won't do that. I just wanted to know what. Yeah.
We could ask her about trains.
Was it? Oh, gosh. Are you working on the train thing?
I'm working as a policy advisor. Sorry, I'm not used to
the mic. We're gonna move around differently.
Oh, real? Okay. So I'm going for a hot
seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not working with the trains?
No, I'm not working with the trains. I'm working with energy and mines.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So all right. I'm working with the Ministry of Energy and Mines. I haven't gotten the file that I'm going to be working on yet, so I don't have a lot of that information.
Oh, no.
So I can't answer any burning questions about that.
I really have no burning questions.
Well, about mines? Yes. We can ask you questions, but not this show? Mid-July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a few in particular.
I'm sorry, I can't talk about that right now.
We're not allowed.
Yes.
That's okay.
But
so is that a summer gig or is it like an all-time gig?
Well, it's a summer. It's a summer gig, right? It's an internship with the, I think every co-op student hopes that their placement gets extended beyond the 4 months, right? Like we want to look at that. Mm-hmm. That position.
A full-time gig.
Yes.
Full-time, all kinds of money.
Well.
Prestige.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Power.
I'm not sure about that, but.
Okay, so let me ask you a quick question, totally different from your course and your job and everything.
Okay.
You mentioned about your parents love music.
Yes.
What is it that you would love from what they've passed on to you? Probably just you get through osmosis, hearing it all the time.
Okay, well, my dad, I was telling Doug that my dad, I curated a playlist for my dad on Spotify, and my dad's name is Robert, and the playlist is called Rob's Faves That You Must Listen To.
Oh.
And it's just, I have my phone, right there with all the playlist songs. But the one thing that I wish my dad passed on to me is his uncanny ability to name any song, any artist. Well, back in the day, we're not talking like post-2000s. But if it comes on the radio and it's his, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Well, okay, not 50s, maybe 70s, 80s. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. But he can name it like that, and I find it so impressive, and I love it. It's my favorite thing, probably one of my favorite things about my dad. He goes, "Oh, I know that," and he gets the artist down too, which I find really impressive. It's one thing to get the song, but sometimes you forget the artist. But so I just thought I'd include that.
So maybe for next week you could give a couple of recommendations, and we can see if we can get it.
Off the playlist?
Your favorites.
Oh, my favorites.
From your dad.
From my dad. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good idea. Yeah. A lot of Led Zeppelin from my dad.
Oh, well, yeah. How about you? Led Zeppelin,
I don't know.
Good?
I oh, guess.
Is that?
Oh, no. Whatever.
But no. Led Zeppelin was, years following Zeppelin's famous visits to different places. When we were traveling in Europe and in Ireland, we went to Northern Ireland where Zeppelin played in the I forget the name of the place, the Union Hall or something like that. And to stand in that hall, no music around or anything, but you could just feel it. Your dad would love to go and visit that place and have Zeppelin playing in his head.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yep, I've got a song to put on right now for you.
Okay.
And this one is from a fellow from Manitoba. And I interviewed him two, three years ago, I think it was. And
okay.
Yep, and it's called Take the High Road.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we'll, his name's Nelson Little.
Good.
Crossing wires.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready, Sean?
I am.
Here we go.
Hold my head up, putting the guns down. I'm holding my head up, holding it high. I'm keeping my back up, keeping my back up against the wall. I'm holding my head up so I don't fall. No, it ain't too late 'Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. Taking the high road, putting the fight down, taking the high road out of town. Taking my mind off, taking my mind off the fighting side. Walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. And let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed.
Years and they're still letting us near microphones.
It's true. We've got the music, the stories, and absolutely no filter.
From deep cuts to guilty pleasures, if it made noise in the last three decades,
we're probably playing it and maybe laughing about it.
This is 30 Years and Nonsense.
Hosted by Terry and Sherry Doherty.
Only on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston's campus and community radio.
Turn it up
and embrace the nonsense.
On Saturday, May 2nd at 6 p.m., the Food Sharing Project invites you to step into a lively, chef-powered dining experience unlike any other. Start the night with a complimentary cocktail, raw bar, and charcuterie before moving through a series of interactive stations hosted by chefs from six standout Kingston restaurants, including Aqua Terra, Baja Craft Kitchen, Bella Bistro, Kutu Catering, Crave Coffee House, and Days on Front. Each station offers a seasonal creation crafted to showcase the talent and creativity of our local culinary scene. With wine served at dinner, live music, a cash bar, and a silent auction, it's an evening designed to delight every sense. Funds raised will support the Food Sharing Project's work, ensuring students across Kingston and area have access to the nourishing food they need to thrive. Tickets are $125 per person. Learn more at www.foodsharingproject.org/savorspring.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
Well, Sean, there you go. That song that we had was Nelson Little with Take the High Road.
Oh, yeah.
Great song. Really had fun. I had fun telling you and Nicole the story about chatting with them. So we're going to move on. Some good news from Four Directions Center today.
Well, I guess, yeah, some good news. It's the get paid to be a part of the game.
All right. Yeah. What kind of game?
So there's there's a lacrosse officiating clinic. So I guess that'd be the referee.
Yes.
The ref. So it's going to be here at the at Queen's University Saturday, April the 25th.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah. April the 25th from 10 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. It's ages 14 as of 2026. So if you're 14 or older in 2026?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, you have to be 14 and up as of...
But
right
if
now,
you're like 13 and three quarters, no
you
dice,
wait.
You're not getting in?
Well, until you're 14.
Okay. So it says here, clinic is reimbursed by the Kingston Lacrosse Association after completion.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't even have how to get a hold of anybody. It doesn't say who to call.
No. Okay. We're going to have to find out.
So
week.
No experience required. Great for students. Earn money officiating games. Nicole, are you interested?
In being a referee in lacrosse?
She says no.
No. Okay.
All right.
Did you play lacrosse, Sean?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
What do you call it? Whatever the shinny is of lacrosse, that's what I would have played.
Mm.
So pretty well nothing.
No, when I was a kid, where we grew up,
sometimes just one
field lacrosse we called it.
Yeah.
Nowadays they have box lacrosse.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that until I
was I used to throw the ball against the house because I was an only child,
mm-hmm.
and
you had to chase it if you couldn't catch it. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's what I had little brothers for.
But. At the time, I was in that age group where I could not find a team to join.
Mm.
Back when I actually moved, I was young.
So would you like?
Like 14.
They
had a 9-year-old to 13. I was 14. They didn't have a 14 thing.
Oh, okay.
Until I was 18, and they had a 14 to 17 or something like that. I don't know what it was. Anyways, just never ever had the chance to join a team.
Okay.
And I'm not even entirely sure if they had a team in... What are you doing?
Just keep going.
Why? Why are you doing that?
Oops.
See what happens?
Can't get past the firewall.
See what happens? You're trying to do something mm-hmm. you just can't do. Yeah. What were you trying to do? Just tell me.
Pulling up your Four Directions again, because there's something else in there that we want to talk about.
With that SNC-Lavalin thing?
No. Lavalin?
Yeah, SNC-Lavalin.
Is it in there?
Yeah, underneath.
Oh.
Right here, SNC-Lavalin.
No, I was going to ask you about, there's another feature in there for getting involved in politics.
Politics?
Yeah.
SNC-Lavalin thing.
No, First Nations.
Indigenous program. Employment, Education, and Training Program. Bursaries and Scholarships. Turtle Island Indigenous Science. We spoke about that already.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going. It's further along.
Further down?
Yeah. Because
Future Generations Foundation, the Dr. Tormer. I don't even think you know how to use a phone, Doug.
That's true.
See?
Hmm. Oh, there we go. Right there. I just want to preface before we talk about it.
Indigenous representation in local government matters.
Before you talk about it, I wrote to the people there involved in this whole project, and they have virtual nights where they do the training for people who want to be part of politics coming up, and there's going to be municipal elections coming this year.
I thought that they had those the other day.
No, municipal elections. That was a federal election.
Oh, that was federal?
Yeah.
Oh.
But there are also opportunities to get involved in community, for example, being on the band council or being a chief of a community.
What this is.
It's broad. It's whatever kind of program you want to get into. But now you can tell everybody what it is.
I was telling them, and then you cut me off.
Well, I had to preface
Indigenous representation, local government matters, info session. Oh. For urban Indigenous peoples considering running for municipal office. So like mayor of Kingston.
Mayor, councillor, yeah.
No, mayor.
Mayor.
Power.
Oh, you want strong mayor place. You have to go to the big rooms.
I learned from Nicole that it's all about the power. Anyway, so the Association of Municipalities of Ontario is offering a series of workshops for Indigenous peoples thinking about running for municipal office. In 2026, these sessions will provide insights and strategies to build your understanding and confidence around how to become a candidate and running a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
All stuff that I guess would be something to learn if you were not a part of a campaign in the past.
Right, yeah. And it's interesting because I did get the layout of what they're going
to
do.
Or you didn't go to school.
Hmm?
Or you didn't go to school.
Oh.
Like, I seem to remember this in, grade 7 or something like that. Grade 6?
Grade 5.
Oh, well, maybe it was grade 5.
Yeah, civics.
I don't know. You got to have a platform.
Yes.
That's what I learned.
Two wooden crates, a couple of wheels.
Soapbox. I think they did say soapbox.
That's right. Yeah. And we used to use the soapbox to make carts.
Mm.
And we push each other around on it.
Yeah.
We didn't have big hills.
Seems like to me that would be more fun.
It was. I never thought of standing on it and talking to anybody.
No. Surprising.
No, I'd rather sit behind a mic.
Sit behind a mic and talk. Okay.
All right. So
I think we're boring, Nicole.
But that's an interesting project, and we're trying to get the coordinators to be part of our show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's why I was leading into it, yeah.
Would they come here?
We might have to do a Zoom or something like that. Yeah, sorry.
I think they could come here. It's in Kingston, right?
No.
Well, where is it?
No, they're doing it virtually.
Virtual thing?
They're in Thunder Bay.
Oh, gosh, really?
Field trip.
I've been to Thunder Bay.
You haven't?
I have.
Oh, you
haven't? I'll stay here.
I'd go back to Thunder Bay.
It's, if I'm flying, sure.
Oh, maybe.
Not driving. It's facilitated by the Melanie? Pilon? Pilon?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's probably what it is. She's the first Indigenous mayor of the municipality of Wawa.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wawa.
You drove through Wawa, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I was driving. This is my story. I had to go up there. I got to, Thunder Bay? Is that where you turn around to go to Wicomicon? I think it was Thunder Bay.
No, that's Sudbury.
Oh, Sudbury.
Oh, okay.
I got to Sudbury. I'm driving, and I see the pictures for the goose. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, hey, I want to see that goose, the big goose. After, you know,
after things, going to Wicklow, you were going to go to Wawa?
After I'm done at Sudbury, I'm going to see that goose because I'm already here pretty well. And then I looked at my map and my GPS and the whole thing, and I, it's another 2.5-3 hours to see that goose. And I said to myself, I've seen pictures. I've got the internet. Uh-huh. I can look at the goose anytime I want.
Now, Wawa is a nice place to visit.
I'm sure it is. But I had driven, gosh, I think it was a
12
good
hours.
6 hours to get to Sudbury. And you get to a certain point on that road, and there are no gas stations. None.
I hope you looked down at your meter there.
So I was coming down, and I was thinking to myself, because you're driving, and there's, like, just off the side of the road, there's a, a campgrounds?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy there that has gas.
Oh, wow, okay.
And, like, fishing equipment mm-hmm. and, you know, bread and stuff like that. And, I guess this is it. I better stop here. Mm-hmm. It was a good thing. Because I don't think I got, another fuel spot until Trenton.
What? I hate to ask what back roads you were using.
That's the only major city I could think of. No, that's it.
That's it?
My story's over.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a song for you. And, we were listening to Luke doing his between 5 and 6 o'clock tonight.
Luke who?
Luke is the...
I seen Jesse. Jesse was in here.
He was, yes, but Luke was doing the show, and Luke writes music, and he's like a DJ, and he was playing before you got here.
Is that an ongoing thing?
It's part of a special project here at CFRC.
I heard some of it.
Because Nicole heard it, and she really liked it.
Oh, okay.
And I kept interrupting her, trying to get the vibe with it by talking and showing her around the station. I'm
going
to give you a chance
shut.
Then to catch DJ Shub.
Oh, right? Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Calling All Dancers is the song. A song from the far north. Asiva is the group there, three people singing. You notice that's a little bit of throat singing in there. And that was called Love Song. And before that, DJ Shub. And that was kind of fun because it's Calling All Dancers. And that's sort of, it goes back to what happened at in the first hour or 5 o'clock hour. And Luke was up playing his music and sharing a lot of music. DJ Shub and Luke would be very good together. Watch the two of them work with music and sharing stories that would go with it. So anyway, this is a lot of fun because we're getting ready for a special project that we were involved in quite a ways back. I guess now about 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I guess it was. And I went over to be part of I would say it's a celebration of life. And but it was put together through policy studies here at Queen's University. And we're just looking to see if we can get organized to go and do the second part of that presentation. It was March 26th was the date that the Cushane family was here in Kingston, and with a large number of people who had gone through many things with Tom Cushane, who was the dean of policy studies. I learned a lot from the whole project, and I'm just getting ready to see if we can really have some fun with listening to all of the presenters and their ideas and what impact Tom Crescenti had on them in their lives. But in between each of the speakers, I've been able to present Indigenous musicians from across Canada. So, you know, you're going to get to hear the musicians from the East Coast to the West Coast and to the far north. And, you know, we're going to have some, you know, some time spent with the people and you know, learn a little bit. But we're also going to hear in each of the talks, there's something that will spark in me. There's a song that would go with that one. You know, so think about the music after you hear the talking. How does that music fit in? That's my challenge for you tonight. It's another way of asking me to listen to all of these really great, interesting ideas from people. Now, I was wondering if we could see what's happening with the setup and see if they're all okay. And you know, there's an introduction that we'll do. And if you joined us last week, you would have heard from the first hour over at the University Club where it was held. The room was packed, and there's lots of people there. And you know, there were six speakers in all, three in the first part, and three in the second hour after lunch. And so, you know, but before we do anything, we've got about 4 minutes to chat. And Nicole, you were also at the Tom Crescenti talk, that forum that day. And I'm, you know, having been there, I'm just wondering, what was the impact for you as a student at Queen's, hearing about someone you never met?
Very good question. It was a little bit intimidating going to that event, you know, having never met Tom, but just understanding the impact he had in his realm of studies and also meeting all of his family members. You met Hannah, right? Hannah is the one who Yes. invited you to that event.
Actually, before you go on, I met Hannah at a talk here at Queen's University, and that was
which talk? Sorry,
it was given. Catherine McKenna was here to talk. Oh. She was in at the Smith building.
The Smith building, yeah.
And we were standing in line, and this lady being in front of me, and you know, I'm standing watching because we were going to get a chance. I wanted a book signed. That Catherine McKenna's book, and she was going to sign it, and she had a whole line of people. And Hannah introduced herself and started talking to me, and I thought, oh, this is nice, you know, probably be a couple minutes. And next thing you know, she stepped up and said, oh, and I'm a cousin. She just found out that she's also related to Tom Crescenti. And so are you, and she asked if I was coming to the event that you and I ended in. So I hadn't heard about it up until then. So I wrote back to her and said, yes, and tell me all the information and I'd like to go to it. So that's how I I was really nice. And Hannah looked after me, getting me all set up there so I could record all of the project.
And I still have to listen to the broadcast or the session you held, I think it was 2 weeks ago?
No, last.
Oh, it was last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this week is the second half.
The second half.
Yes.
So, yes.
That's what we're introducing right now.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm asking. You were a student there and, you know, you heard in the second half, Bob Ray will be talking and the two other people who are in different parts of the world, one from Montreal and one from Ottawa.
I thought it was really interesting to hear how Tom's perspectives on a lot of policies have changed, and hearing all the different speakers like Bob Ray, who, or just the speakers in general, who maybe either agreed or didn't agree with some of his stances, but were still maintain so much respect and mm-hmm. and being able to have those conversations and being kind of the mindset of, oh, maybe he didn't agree with the policy, but, you know, Tom knew how to put those things forward. So even though I never met him, he seemed like definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
Like a grand persona. And yeah, so that's my take on that. Even having never met him,
mm-hmm.
I would have loved to meet him. He sounded like an amazing individual, very smart individual too at that.
Yeah, and I know every time I got to chat with him or be part of an event that he was asking questions, I always went away thinking a broader area rather than the focus that they were talking about at that time. He would cause you to think, you got to think broadly. okay, and yeah, that's fun. That's what we do around here, right, Sean? We extend things.
No.
Every once in a while.
But it was a great event. Hannah did a great job orchestrating all of that. Mm-hmm. Very proud of her. It was a lovely event. We had refreshments after. It was a wonderful way to commemorate him. So
what we're going to do now is, and I mentioned about the music. So we're going to hear some of those speakers, but I also, we're going to set it up with the Dean of Political Science, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what's happening, introduce Tom Kershane, mm-hmm. and then we're going to hear from the three speakers who were there in the afternoon after the lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all set, and you know, and I go away and I listen to this the second and the third time, and every time there's something that I thought, I should think about that again. And you know, so I'm hoping that happens for all the people who are listening to our show tonight, and or maybe online, and we're glad to have them along from wherever they are across Canada. And by the way, I did mention that I have my map of Canada there on my book.
That was great to see.
And I have a dot for where all the musicians are from. You know, so people are going to be able to hear Indigenous musicians that are from many places across Canada. So it's a tribute to everything that Tom did to help people think about whether they're in First Nations communities, off First Nations communities, or in federal government, to think about what's happening. So you all set? You okay?
Yep.
So you get to sit back and watch the needle bounce back and forth as we monitor the everything going on tonight. Glad to have you along, Nicole. This has been a lot of fun.
If I could have your attention, please. If I could have your attention, please. Considering the level of conversation and the enthusiasm, I think we can already call this symposium a success. For those of you who don't know me, my name is James Fraser. I have the distinct pleasure of serving as the acting director for the School of Policy Studies here at Queen's University. I also serve as associate dean in the Faculty of Arts and Science in the grad portfolio. I want to welcome you to this symposium celebrating Tom Kershane and his many contributions to public policy in Canada. I want to particularly extend a special word of welcome to Margie Kershane, many children, grandchildren, and friends who are able to be here. It's so wonderful that you could come today. Thank you so much. On that note, also, I want to mention and recognize that this symposium is being supported by the Margie and Tom Kershane Endowment Fund, which was established through the generous donations by the family and friends. Kudos have to go out also to Keith Banting, to Bronwyn, and to Kerry for all their tireless work in planning this symposium and pulling it off so well. At this point, I just want to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and the Haudenosaunee people. It's been an incredible privilege to live, to work, to have raised my family on these lands and on these waterways. Land acknowledgements are, of course, a chance to reflect on the past, but I'd also invite you to think about the future. And a specific future that I want to share with you is that in 2 weeks, in this very, very room, we'll have a celebratory feast for graduates, Indigenous graduates of our STEM Indigenous Academics Program. And they will come together as that community that they built 4 years ago, way back when they were starting their undergraduate adventures here at Queen's. They make our community so much more rich. That program is actually a program jointly offered by the Faculty of Health Sciences, Smith Engineering, and the Faculty of Arts and Science. So on that point, I would like to cede the podium to my boss, Interim Dean Bob Lemieux.
Thanks, James, and good morning, everyone. On November 4th, we lost one of Canada's most influential economists. Tom Courchain was a remarkably creative thinker who devoted his career to sparking debates over public policy in Canada. Tom continually challenged conventional thinking about the leading economic and social issues of the day, and his own ideas continually evolved, taking him into new and inventive directions. Today we're gathered to celebrate Tom's life, his legacy, his service to Canada, and to Queen's University. In addition to his role as a public intellectual, Tom served as the founding director of our School of Policy Studies, and he was the inaugural Stauffer Dunning Chair in Public Policy. After completing his term as director of SPS, Tom took on the Jaroslawski Deutsch Chair in Economic and Financial Policy, and he served at various times as director of the Institute for Intergovernmental Relations and the John Deutsch Institute in the Department of Economics. In many ways, Tom represented the continuation of a long tradition of engagement in public policy debates at Queen's University. This tradition can be traced back to the university's earliest days. Principal George Grant was a principal in the late 19th century, whose name, of course, graced our clock tower. He was a leading public intellectual of his time. He crisscrossed the country debating the policy issues of the day. This tradition was carried forward in the 20th century by faculty members such as Adam Short and Odie Skelton, who helped build a modern public service, especially at the federal level. In 1988, this commitment to public policy led to the establishment of the School of Policy Studies and a successful effort to recruit Tom Courchain to come to Queen's and serve as the first director of SPS. The school has a dual mandate to deliver the Master of Public Administration program, training a new generation of policy leaders for tomorrow, and to serve as a hub, linking the world of research with that of public policy. Traditionally, the school helped energize and integrate research and related social science disciplines, such as economics, political studies, and law. And going forward, our hope is to extend this mission to the university as a whole. Today's symposium celebrates the contribution of Tom Courchain. He was an officer of the Order of Canada, a fellow of the Royal Society of Canada, a recipient of the Canada Council Molson Prize for Lifetime Achievement, and a winner of the Donner Prize twice. Our task today is to understand the characteristics that made him so successful and to draw lessons from the challenges that are facing us today. And boy, do we have many challenges.
My name is Jennifer Ditchburn. I'm the President and CEO of the Institute for Research on Public Policy, and thank you for the free PR for IRPP. Much appreciated. Thank you to Keith Banting for inviting me here. So I'm a Concordia Carleton grad, but my daughter is coming to Queen's in the fall, so my family will have a connection to this incredible institution, which we're very excited about. Preparing for this, I was thinking about what it means to have a legacy. And often when you talk about people's institutional legacy, it's sort of ephemeral. It's like, well, they put a place on good financial foundations, or they were an expert in an area that was really trendy for a time, but it's not often where your name alone, not even your first name, but your name, like Courchain, oh yeah, well, Courchain, it's like Madonna or Cher or something like that. And bien sûr, l'IRPP, c'est Courchain, c'est pas Courchain. On parle de Tom Courchain, puis tout ce qu'il a fait dans nos couloirs pendant, ben, c'est, je pense, 40 ans. J'ai trouvé une première étude qu'il a fait pour nous. So this is a first study that we think we found. This is a printout. I mean, I didn't bring the actual study, but June 1986, discussion paper, Some Perspectives on the Future of Banking. It's a page-turner. but 40 years ago. And so Tom, now I did not know Tom personally. I interviewed him when I was a journalist in my previous life. But his name is all over my office because we have all of our books on our bookshelves. And I brought only the lightest ones because I was packing my briefcase. And so he was so prolific at the IRPP and C.D. Howe Institute as well, and really left his mark at the Institute in a way that Hugh Siegel also did. Hello, Donna. One thing I wanted to mention is that one thing he was instrumental at doing at the IRPP was inaugurating a series called Art of the State, which was a very significant academic endeavor where we planned conferences, huge conferences with experts from across the country. And how many people were at an Art of the State conference at one point or another? A few of you. And so they bring together all kinds of people across disciplines, and then they would publish books, and big books. I mean, this is like a folio from one series. Like, this is just one part of like 10 different books. So I don't know how your grandfather, your father, how he managed to write so much. I mean, it's pretty incredible. One thing that Franz Saint-Hilaire, who was a longtime VP at the IRPP and knew Tom very well, I talked to her this week, and one thing she said was that was remarkable about him was, well, first of all, the number of topics. So she counted 13 different topics. So I know we've been talking about Tom as an economist, but I don't think it's really the right way of defining him because he was across all kinds of different policy issues. He didn't stay in his lane, and I think someone else used that terminology. But he also, Franz was saying, had the capacity to see things in a big way, so the macro, and see how different points connected. And that's a really huge asset today when so many issues cross different policy areas. And there's so much horizontality in terms of the challenges that we're facing. And I think Kevin's left, but you know, one of the big challenges for government right now is trying to figure out issues that aren't neatly in a box of a particular department or another. So that was really something, a mark that he made at the IRPP was to go wide and go deep. So he didn't try to limit the subjects that he was looking at. He went as deep as he could and as wide as he could, which is really remarkable when you think about it. And I just want to say one quick thing about relevance, which was one of the questions that all the panelists were asked about. Back, how many years ago was your book with Tom on shared citizenship and diversity?
2006.
So Keith, Tom, and my former colleague Leslie Seidel published a book on diversity, there was one other word in there, and shared citizenship. And that was way, way before anyone was talking about diversity in Canada as a kind of, you know, thing. And it talked about, one of the big streams in that book was talking about how people connect with one another, especially newcomers to the country. Like, how do they integrate into Canadian society? How do you create a feeling of national purpose? And I want to tell you, this is a big issue for the federal government right now. This is actually one of their top issues they've identified inside the federal government, is what do we do to have people feel like they're part of the Canadian project? It's not enough just to feel like you're part of a project because Donald Trump is doing bad things to you. It has to be based on a stronger footing. And so Tom was talking about that 20 years ago. And he also worked on a really instrumental book on Canada's North. And if you've been paying attention to the news, Canadian North is a huge, huge policy issue right now because of the wealth of critical minerals there.